In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with the saints that Luisa knew, the saints related to Luisa's life and her writings. And we're going to start with St. George, her feast day, her birthday, April 23rd. It's the slayer of the dragon. The Lord has everything planned perfectly. What he tells Luisa in volume 15, he said, "My mother crushes the head of the evil one. You, Luisa, will put the final kaput on his head." So this new beginning's coming for humanity, where as we read Luisa, Jesus says we have to begin to live this true life of Jesus and Mary, to the point where that evil, that sin, that snake, that dragon, that the evil one has to be crushed out of our life. And God is going to give us the grace to have this celebration of the defeat of the evil one. And we're going to experience this. And I think this is basically what we're going through today with all that Our Lady has been telling us over the years to get ready for. Get ready for the return of my Son, she would say. And this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven means that the evil one will not be here. He can't be here. When heaven comes to earth, the evil one who's been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. So how perfect is it to have this feast of this great St. George crushing, slaying the dragon? And again, for your house, for your homes, you should have St. Michael slaying the devil. You should have the image of St. Michael. You should have the image of the St. Benedict's medal, where the evil is cast out. And now with St. George, these three medals are very, very important, along with Our Lady, the Miraculous Medal. So each house should have these medals. In the front of my house, I've got the crucifix, I've got the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I want the angels to know this house is protected, it's blessed, and you have what Jesus says, the medicines that I have given to my church through the sacraments and sacramentals. Sacramentals are very important for us as well. And St. Aloysius, his feast day is the 21st. And it says St. Aloysius says on that feast day during his mass, we're going to greet the Lord wearing our wedding garments. And as you can see with Luisa, she was wearing all white, her wedding garment, you know, and this is something that is good for all of us to know St. Aloysius. St. Aloysius, Jesus said to Luisa, "I wanted you, to Luisa, to be named after the most holy of all the saints, St. Aloysius." On her birth certificate, it says Aloysia. It's Aloysia, Aloysius. So it's a glorious saint of the youth. We should help the youth know him, learn about him. So Aloysia is on her baptismal certificate. St. Cataldo, the feast day is May 10th, the patron of Corrado. He was a bishop from Ireland who crashed, or the boat sank during the storm, and he was washed up on shore. And he is the saint of, I think it's kind of fun, of Ireland, who is the patron saint of Corrado. So Luisa said, Luisa had a, had, and that was one of the churches that was destroyed, in Corrado, when that great earthquake happened. So she promised Jesus, and this is in volume 6, February 21st, 1904, that in the presence of the Most Holy Trinity, in the presence of the Queen Mother Mary, Most Holy, in the presence of my guardian angel, in the presence of the whole celestial court, in order to obey my confessor, she says, I promise that if the Lord, by his infinite mercy, should give me the grace of letting me die, when I find myself together with my celestial spouse, I will pray, number one, and plead for the triumph of the church and the confusion and conversion of her enemies, number one. Number two, I will pray that the Catholic Party may triumph in our town. And number three, I pray that the Church of St. Cataldo may be reopened for service. And then number four, I pray that my confessor be freed of his usual sufferings with a holy freedom of spirit and the sanctity of the true apostle of the Lord. And this is for us now. I was talking to Father Bucci about this. With holy freedom and the spirit of the sanctity of the true apostle of the Lord, that always, if the Lord permits it, I will go to him at least once a month. Now, this is after she's dead. To confer about the celestial things pertaining to the good of his soul. And I promise this, all of this, and for my part, I swear. So here's this promise that she's making. Now, right now in the parking lot, right near the association, where the open market is, that parking lot used to be the church. That was the presence of the church. And what they did over the past couple of years is put up a small, you know, holy thing. it's like the baptismal font that was in the church. And this is the people can come and say, oh, this is where the Church of St. Cataldo was in this area, this large area. But she says, I want that church to be reopened. The Holy Mass. See, what's coming, and this is the best part, what's coming is every church will be a Catholic church. What's coming is the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus says there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. There's the universal life that God breathed into Adam. And that universal life is the Catholic life. So she knows that this church is going to be reopened for service. I'd like to see it sooner than later. But she promises this and she swears this solemn promise that she has made to the Lord if she can die. And again, she always wanted to die. Here she is. This is volume 6. God would crucify her every day and she would die and then she'd come back to life. And she'd say to Jesus, why are you crucifying me to the point of death? And then the next moment I'm alive again. Jesus says, I love to see you being reborn. So this being reborn is a mystery that Jesus is going to teach us about, of how to be reborn continuously. And that's why Jesus calls Luisa my little newborn. She's always born. She's every day she's reborn. And he says, I love to see you reborn. This new beginning, more than yesterday, more tomorrow than today, this great blessing that God is going to bestow upon his children. It's this great mystery is going to be revealed to us as we enter into this gift. And then St. Mary Magdalene, the feast day is July 22nd. Luisa became a third order Dominican prior to her victimhood, taking the name Mary Magdala. And when you think of Jesus on the cross with the Blessed Mother there and Mary Magdalene and John. It's to get us ready for what Christ is going to do in this era with Mary Magdalene, if you want to say, Luisa, and with John, and that's the Pope. So this new era that's coming to the earth. And so don't be afraid of anything. Don't be worried about anything. God has everything planned. And Jesus says to Luisa, you must be the key basically. What is the key? It's the key to open the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Who has that key? It's the Pope. And that's why when you read the three appeals, on the third appeal, she says, Holy Father, you must be the first to possess this fully, possess this gift fully. And we're going to witness what God is going to do. This is going to be so great, so glorious. So we just keep on praying, learning the divine will, studying the divine will, putting it into practice, getting ready for God to teach us. So on October 16th, Louisa received the grace of the mystical marriage with her beloved Jesus. Now, we prayed that with Louisa this past 14th, 15th, 16th, those 3 days. I think it was maybe 4 days. The 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. So we want to echo what Jesus gave to Louisa. We want to also participate in this desire that God gave to Louisa, that we also want to share in this mystical marriage. And so St. Margaret Mary was the chosen instrument to spread the devotion of our Lord's Sacred Heart. And in 1860, just 28 years before Louisa's mystical marriage, two French associates of the Apostleship of Prayer and the League of the Sacred Heart had merged and launched the first worldwide movement of prayer for the reign of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Their motto was, Thy Kingdom Come. So this new and divine way of holiness that's coming is so close. It is so close, you can almost taste it. And as we know, it's going to get more hectic. As time moves on, it's going to be more difficult. Every day you're going to hear of things that might disturb you. But in the divine will, there's no disturbance. It's fiat. Lord, we trust in you. We believe in you. We hope in you. We have confidence in you. You're our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, our God. There's no fear. There's no worry. There's no complaining. There's no negativity. And we proclaim the same thing. Lord, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The feast of St. Catherine of Siena, April 29th. The patron of Italy, on October 21st, 1888, in the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of St. Catherine of Siena, Louisa received a mystical ring from Jesus as a sign of their union, and St. Catherine of Siena assisted at Louisa's mystical wedding. So here we see this, like even in the church of St. Mary Major, at the high altar, there's the body of St. Catherine of Siena in Rome. But her head is in Siena. Now, she was so beautiful that they took her head and put it in a glass container. And when you say Mass, when the priest says that Mass there, he can pray under her head. Now, her head didn't, her skin didn't deteriorate, but became dry. The moisture left. So her image, her head is still there in Siena, God has great, great things for her, because when you read her life, she was so amazing. Like Saint Teresa of Avila, she had the ecstasy the ecstasy of the wedding feast of the mystical marriage. So this ring that God gave to Louisa was three stones, a red stone, a green stone, and a white stone. The red stone symbolized Jesus's life, his suffering. That's redemption. The green stone represented creation, and the white, the pure stone, the glass stone, if you want to say, symbolized the divine will, that kingdom come. So these are the three fiats. And Jesus said to Louisa, I want you to give your fiat. So it's the same thing with us. He wants us to give our fiat, our yes to the Lord, to do everything one with the Lord, never to be separated from the Lord, always to be with him. And this is the reason why we go to Eucharistic adoration. We want to be with Jesus. We want to look at Jesus in the monstrance. We want to fall in love with Jesus in the monstrance. And as you begin this wedding feast, if you want to say, we do fall in love with Jesus in a way that we never thought possible. Our life becomes one with Jesus. And when he says to Louisa, do not leave me alone, we take those words that he addressed to Louisa and we say, yes, Lord, I don't want you ever to be alone. So what happens is when we pray our rounds, the round of creation, the round of redemption, Jesus is teaching us how to adore the Father, love the Father, praise the Father, glorify the Father, the way Jesus did, the way Mary did, the new Adam and the new Eve. So this prayer life is different than what we've learned for the last 2,000 years. What we've learned for the last 2,000 years is how to echo the prayers of the saints, to repeat the prayers of the saints. And we've been pretty good at that. And Jesus now says, now I want you to do something even more. I want you to echo my prayers. That's why the echo book is so essential. And the great thing about LuisaPicaretta.me, that website, is everything is free. Download anything you want. And I think what has happened over the past month, there's new, for example, you right now, the new book that's on there is the Christmas Novena. Get your family to pray the Christmas Novena. Get your parish to pray the Christmas Novena. It started a couple of days ago. And as we pray this, as we enter into this, we begin to hear how much our God loves us, why he came to earth to redeem us. And now Jesus says, now with the saints, he says, I want to sanctify humanity. This sanctification, he says, I've waited 6,000 years to give this back to humanity. And now with Louisa, it's begun. It's here because of Louisa. He's given this to Louisa. Louisa, Jesus said, the destiny of the world is found in you, Louisa. Where the world is going to go is found in you, Louisa. And this destiny is to begin to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary through this little newborn, Louisa Picaretta. So then there's St. Dominic, and his feast day is August 8th. He's the founder of the Preachers of the Dominicans, the saint of the Holy Rosary. And Louisa became a Third Order Dominican, and it is not surprising to see in her life such a strong devotion to the Holy Rosary. Almost all the pictures of Louisa, she's got the rosary in one hand and the book in the other. It's Jesus and Mary. And this is her life, and this becomes our life. So Louisa's parents prayed the Holy Rosary daily and attended Mass as often as they could in the Church of St. Dominic. Never neglect the rosary to the Celestial Mother, Louisa said. Never neglect this Holy Rosary. And Jesus said it'll be through the Holy Rosary that the divine will be given to the earth. So we know, I mean, I've heard some people say, well, I'm living in the divine will. I don't need the rosary. They're not living in the divine will. Louisa always prayed the rosary. Louisa always went to Holy Mass. She received Holy Communion even after she left the orphanage. So the Feast of the Holy Rosary, October 7th. Okay, again, this is the day Louisa entered the orphanage built by St. Annibal de Francia and named after St. Anthony in Corrado. It's run then and today by the Daughters of Divine Zeal. It was founded by St. Annibal exactly 10 years to the day on the Feast of the Holy Rosary in 1938. She left. So they said to her, how long are you going to stay here? She says 10 years. And it was 10 years to the day that she left because of the dispositions of the superiors. She left the orphanage. But Father Inibili was beatified by Pope St. John Paul II on October 7th, 1990. So the Lord always has fun with numbers, fun with words. He loves to echo certain words. He loves to have fun with us, his children. And this wonderful thing of St. Annibal being beatified on October 7th, that's when Acuna from Mexico City went to see, at that time, Cardinal Ratzinger, who was the head of the congregation there. And he asked him, How can you make this priest, Father Anibale, a blessed when the books of Louisa are condemned? And the Holy Father says, well, we're going to have to look into this. And what they discovered was Louisa didn't write any condemned books. They thought she did because these were the books that she wrote. But her spiritual director rewrote two books, The Hours of the Passion and The Virgin Mary, which already had imprimaturs on them. And he would cross out pages and write what he said. I think she means this. I think she means that, rather than what Jesus said to her, because sometimes it's difficult to hear what Jesus wants for us. I mean, he speaks with a heavenly language, and we have to learn that heavenly language. We really do. So here with Louisa, they discovered that it was Father Calvi who changed the words. And they said, Louisa, these writings are condemned. And she says, I condemn them too. And they go, how can you condemn your own writing? She says, these aren't the words of Jesus. So with that all straightened out, then her cause was opened. And thank God for Father Acuña. What a great man. His whole family learned about the divine will. His prayer group studied the divine will. Father, Our Lady said to Father Gobi, the Triumph of the Immaculate Heart, A Mary, would begin in Mexico City. Well, that's where Acuña lives. And the letter that Cardinal Ratzinger gave to Acuña said to his archbishop, the writings of Louisa must be published, okay? Because Cardinal Ratzinger knew about this. So with these writings being published, it's this new and divine way of holiness. Jesus says, when these books come out, the whole face of the earth will change. So since then, the books came out in 1996, when we read these books, when we read the writings, your family, your community, your nation, the world, the universe is changing. How can that be? It's changing because these words that Jesus speaks, he says, are divine lives. These divine lives, as you read them, are changing you. Number one, you experience that when you're reading. You're not the same anymore. You can't be the same anymore. And your family, no matter how bad they are or how far away from Christ they are, they start coming back little by little. And this is what a lot of people have seen. You might not see it in this life, but your prayers are going to be answered by Jesus because he's praying and you're praying in the divine will. And we pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. The whole world is changing and the evil one knows he has to leave. Why? He's a total failure. He thought he stopped what God had planned through Adam and Eve, but Jesus and Mary come to earth 4,000 years later, the new Adam and the new Eve, giving more to humanity. And then 2,000 years later, Louisa's born. And Jesus teaches Louisa, she's the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will, born of original sin, who now possesses the gift that Adam lost. So when she begins to pray and she puts these words down on paper for us to read, to study, to put this into practice, we begin to possess these words. They begin to possess us. It's the word of God, Jesus Christ, speaking to us, changing us, giving us, sanctifying us. And that's why the evil one is causing such trouble right now. He knows he's lost. He knows. And so he's going to try to destroy everyone and everything. But Jesus says that divine justice is coming. So what does Our Lady say? Our Lady says to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation says, my children are going to enter into eternity where they belong and enjoy the beatific vision. That's why we were created, to enjoy the beatific vision, to be in that awe, that eternal awe of God, praising him and loving him and glorifying him. St. Thomas Aquinas even says that if the veil was lifted, we would see that we are in the glorified body in eternity, praising God, glorifying God, enjoying the beatific vision. So everything is ready for us to go back to where we belong. And then Our Lady says, but the devil and his children will always be trapped in time and space and never enjoy the beatific vision, never enter into eternity. So this new and divine way of holiness is for us. And all I can say is if you read every day for a year, just, I know this might sound like a long time, but it's a short time. If you read every day, you can't be the same. You can't be the same. Jesus is with you in a way that he's been waiting 6,000 years and he's getting us ready. So when that door is open, when the Pope opens the door of the kingdom of heaven and everyone can enter in, it will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. God's plans cannot be destroyed. The evil one, because of his pride and because of his sin, he's not going to win. See, one angel is more powerful than all the demonic together. Why? That angel is with God. Look at little Michael. He's an archangel. He wasn't a seraphim. He wasn't a cherubim. He was a little archangel. Yet he defeated Lucifer. And now this battle has begun. And we can see it happening in the church and in the world. We can see it happening in our families. But God is going to win. And that's why God is giving us this new and divine way of holiness. He wants us to enter into this life, to begin to live this abundant life now, not after we die. He says, I rose from the dead so that humanity would rise from the death of their human will, the misery of their human will. I want them to become alive now, fully alive now, before you die. So that's what he's offering to us. And that great event, when that great event occurs, it's going to be glorious. So Ezekiel of the Old Testament, Luis was born and died in the diocese of Trani Nazareth, the town of Corrado, whose name in its original Latin cor datum means a heart given. This recalls the beautiful words of the prophet Ezekiel, a new heart I will give to you and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take out of your flesh the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. This is where we are right now with the divine will. And those who are reading, you are experiencing this little by little. I'm going to sneeze. I knew that was there coming. It's the heart of flesh that God is going to give us. I will put my spirit within you and I will cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to observe my ordinances. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit. I will put this within you. I will take out your cold, stony, lifeless heart and give you a heart of flesh, the heart of Jesus and Mary. And I'll put my spirit in you. This is why the Holy Spirit is always with Luisa. I'll put my Holy Spirit within you and to cause you to walk in the statutes, to be careful to observe my ordinances. This is what you're experiencing with the divine will. Nothing is as beautiful as this. There is nothing as beautiful as this. I mean, you read the lives of the saints, like I said, with St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa of Avila. You read these great saints, John of the Cross, even Ezekiel. Everything that they said is coming is close. It's here. And if we're reading the Book of Heaven, you're experiencing it. And then he says, you shall dwell in the land which I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people. And I will be your God. This whole thing with the other day of, you'll learn this in the divine will. You'll learn this, what Jesus tells Louisa. On Sunday, John the Baptist, he was the last, if you want to say, of the high priests. His father was a high priest. And here, the high priest that introduces Jesus to the world at his baptism is killed. They killed the high priest. What did Jesus say about John the Baptist? The greatest man born of woman is John the Baptist. He didn't say St. Joseph. The greatest man born of woman is John the Baptist. And the least in the kingdom is greater than he. And he said, this is what Jesus always says to Louisa. Let me see, you're the littlest. I could find no one littler than you. The least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. So this new, what you see is this new era that's coming. This new beginning that's coming. Again, this is what God is going to give to us as well. We have to begin to understand things from a divine perspective. So like with our intellect, memory, and will, Jesus wants us to think from a divine perspective, from his perspective, from Our Lady's perspective. That's what the Book of Heaven is. The second thing is the memory of Jesus and Mary. It's not to be a memory of us. We're nobodies. We're nothings. But that's why we pray the Holy Rosary. We pray the Holy Rosary to remember the life of Jesus and Mary, to be with Jesus and Mary. And again, there's no time or space in the divine will. In your prayer, Jesus says, I give to my children the gift of bilocation for the divine will. It's not the bilocation of the saints. Jesus takes us where he wants to take us. And it's always a surprise. He'll take us to Capernaum. He'll take us to Jerusalem. He'll take us to Bethlehem. He'll take us to Cana. He loves Caesarea Philippi. He'll take us there. And you can, when you're reading the sacred scriptures, when you're praying the mysteries, just let Jesus take you there. And this is a good reason why you need a spiritual director. So that the spiritual director should be a priest, will help you get through what Jesus is teaching you. And it's a new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied at the Feast of St. Annibal de Francia. So here Jesus says, St. John the Evangelist, the feast day, December 27th, Jesus tells Louisa, the exact point you will find on Calvary. I, the priest, I, the victim, was raised on the wood of the cross, but I wanted a priest who would assist me in that state of victim, which was St. John, who represented to me the new church. And I saw in John the Baptist everyone. He says, I saw the popes and the bishops and the priests all together. And John, while he assisted me, offered me as victim for the glory of the Father and for the success of this new church. See, it's the priesthood is needed. I know a number of people, you know, they say the priesthood, you know, they don't like the priesthood. Well, what Jesus says, it is necessary to have a priesthood. And he says that he is going to redo his priesthood to the way I wanted it from the beginning. Now, how can he say that? Because in the divine will, there's no resistance. There's no, I'm going to do it my way. It's whatever the Lord wants. It's the fiat mihi of Our Lady. I am the slave of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say. So Jesus said in St. John, the evangelist, I saw all the popes, all the bishops, all the priests all together. And John assisted me and offered me as a victim for the glory of the Father and the success of the new church. And that a priest assisted me in that state of victim did not happen by chance, but listen to what he says. Everything was a profound mystery, predestined, even ab eternal, from eternity, in the divine mind. Meaning that by my selecting a victim soul for the grave needs that exist in the church, a priest offers that soul to me. See, it's, Jesus is going to help the priesthood understand their role. It's not to be a social worker. It's all about victim souls. And in the divine will, we are called to be victim souls. Okay. What are we supposed to be martyred to? What has to be martyred in us? What has to die in us? It's all our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our doubting, our sin. It has to go. The martyrdom of martyrdoms is what we have to go through. And that's why Jesus says, you need a priest to assist you, to assist the soul for me, to help the soul, to encourage the soul to suffer. My brother was here a few years ago and on for Christmas, and I was on the phone, you know, talking, and he says, you know what you say all the time? I said, no, I don't listen to myself. I said, what do I say? And he says, you're always telling everybody, God is going to take care of it. Don't worry about this. And I never knew I did that. But he says, all you were telling people over and over and over again was trust in God. He's going to take care of it. Pray. God's going to take care of it. This is the priest is to help the people assist, especially the little children, in the Holy Divine Will, to become a victim soul, to die to all worry. No more life. Don't feed that demon of worry any longer, to die to fear and anxiety and complaints and negativity. It's not part of our life. Jesus said to Louisa, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, you are anticipating hell. If you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, he says, you are anticipating heaven. And he says to Louisa, what do you want? And Louisa says, I want heaven. And he goes, yes, I want heaven for you too. He says, basically, then stop worrying. I will take care of it. Stop being anxious. I will take care of it. In the divine will, we're going to be put in tough situations, situations that look impossible. But God is the God of impossibilities. He loves impossible things to just prove to us how much he loves us, to prove to us how much he cares for us. So this, Jesus says, the priest assisted me in that state of victim. And he says, it did not happen by chance. Everything was a profound mystery, predestined even by from eternity. The divine mind means that by my selecting a victim soul, this is the children of the divine will who must go through the martyrdom of martyrdoms. For the grave needs which exist in the Holy Church, a priest offers that soul to me, assists that soul for me, helps that soul for me, Jesus, encourages that soul to suffer. What's your suffering? I'm not going to give life to misery. I'm going to trust in Jesus. So the consequences of this victimhood is peace, joy, and happiness. It's heaven. Nothing. It doesn't, when you read the lives of the martyrs, you read the lives of the saints, you're in awe. Jesus was with them. Even more so today, because Jesus says to Louisa, let them try to harm you. Let them try to harm the little children, the Holy Divine Will. And then what does he say? He says, He says, if they try to harm you, they will suffer the flames of heaven. You have to understand, God loves the little newborn. That's why he says the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Why them? Why? Because Jesus says they're getting ready for the kingdom. They're dying to their ego and their will. They're dying to worry. They're dying to fear. They're dying to anxiety, complaints, and negativity and sin, even to sin. And that will be the final thing that will go. And Jesus says, and therefore I have to give them what they want. They want the kingdom. See, we are the Essenes of this era. The Essenes of Jesus's time, they didn't follow the Pharisees or the Sadducees. They didn't follow them. They went to the desert. Why? To long for the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah. What did Andrew say to Peter? We found the Messiah. What did the apostles say to Nicodemus? We found the Messiah from Nazareth. He goes, what good's from Nazareth? He knew Jesus, the Messiah, had to be born in Bethlehem. See, we have to be the ones who long for the kingdom of God. It's got to be our passion, praying for souls, praying in the name of everyone and everything, repairing and redoing in the name of everyone and everything. He says, if they understand these things well, Jesus says, they themselves will receive the fruit of the work. He's talking about the priests, in which they render. Like St. John, how many benefits did he not have for assisting me on Mount Calvary? If the priests do not understand well, then they do nothing other than put my work in a continuous disputes, taking away from me my most beautiful designs. See, my most beautiful designs is what he says the little children are. He said, the little children of the Holy Divine Will are my divine masterpieces for God. For God. It's this new and divine way of holiness is very, very close, and God wants us to have this. So St. Philip Neri, May 26th, St. Philip Neri is a model for all priests, as shown in volume 10. When Jesus gives to Louisa the new way for priests, in name, this new way will be the houses of the resurrection of the faith. Every priest in the divine will takes this as their theme. My house, my parish, my rectory is now a house of the resurrection of the faith. And they can use for the rule, the same rules of the oratory of St. Philip Neri. I remember when we were in Rome, we went to St. Philip Neri's church and we looked for the oratory. We wanted the rules. So we went there and they were all in Latin. So we finally got them in English. But what is the rules of the oratory of St. Philip Neri? It's love. What's the divine will? It's love. This whole new and divine way of holiness that's coming to all the world is love. God wants us to dive into this infinite ocean of love and drown. He says, I never want you to leave. I always want you to be with me. This ocean of love, this ocean of light, this ocean of love, light, life, love, and light is ours. That's what God wants. St. Nicholas, December 6th, patron of Saint of Apulia, Bari, Corrado, of Greece, many cities in Europe and Russia. Very importantly, all the children, including the little children of the divine will, love Saint Nicholas. Luisa's father bore the name Vito Nicola in honor of Apulia's patron. Saint Nicholas is the patron of the Catholic Christian unity. As Bari is the place of the great schism, this is what Jesus tells us. Divided Rome and the Eastern patriarchs. Astonishingly, here it is where the little daughter of the divine will is from, and through whom is to come the kingdom of the divine will in the midst of the church and all the world. What does that mean? The unity is coming. Where split, it's going to be brought back together. God is going to do this. The East and the West, the two lungs of the church that Pope St. John Paul said is going to breathe together. What's coming is so magnificent. What's coming is so positive. And all that Jesus is asking is, will you let me do this? So the two great saints that were involved in the schism, St. Catherine of Siena and St. Vincent, both of whom were among the saints mentioned by name by Louisa in the Book of Heaven. This new and divine way of holiness is very, very close. Everything that God wants for humanity is very, very close. The evil one's time has come to an end. The 6,000 years is over. Remember what he said to Pope Leo XIII, give me 100 more years. And he held on to that. That was 1884. He held on to it and for 33 years later. And when he saw the miracle of the sun, what Our Lady was going to do, he knew she was going to crush his head. So he started the Russian Revolution. And that's the poison that's been around the world ever since. But it's over. It's over. The kingdom is coming. There's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be worried about, nothing to be anxious about. The kingdom of God is here if we want it. You can begin to live heaven if you wish on earth. What's heaven? No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity. It's always peace. Jesus says, if there's peace, joy, and happiness, I am there. I rose from the dead so that you would rise from the death of your human will, the misery of your human will. So God is with us. God's got great plans. Get ready to kiss the baby Jesus on Christmas. It's very, very important. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.